This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is The Woods,
Grr.
The show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios. Woof,
Grr.
It is 9 p.m. on a Thursday evening and it's time for The Woods. I'm Bear Curious Dean and I'm joined this evening by Work Experience Club Robbie. Hey Robbie, how you doing?
Hey Dean.
Welcome back.
I'm back. It's like my work experience has started all over again.
I know. And also joining us this evening is Big Bear Mark.
Hello, hello. Excitement.
You're a bit excited tonight,
it's
aren't
this
you?
Week. The whole week is excitement. It's like, yay, it's Eurovision.
It's Eurovision week.
And we just played, of course, Mons.
We
from
sure
last
did.
Year, the winner last year.
It's a bit of a hint for what we're talking about this evening.
Really?
Tonight we are talking about Eurovision. The Bears do Eurovision.
I don't think they talk about Eurovision on Joy.
No, I can't remember talking about it on Joy ever.
Not
no.
Every day of the week.
No, it is every day.
I think
of the
it's
week.
Every day this week.
But of course, to join us this evening to help us discuss all things Eurovision, we have a special guest. You may have heard him whispering in your ear at 6 a.m. in the morning if you listen to Joy. Or you may have driven home with him in the back seat on Joy. Or you might know him as the award-winning producer of Babel Pop. Or he heads up the team now. He's just a very busy man for Joy Eurovision on a Saturday night at 8 p.m. It is Michael.
Hello. I feel as though the station should be just renamed after me some days.
Some days.
Because that's how much I'm on at times. But that's okay. Mm-hmm. If people want me, I will keep coming back. In fact, I will come together with you. That's the theme
come
this
together.
Year.
Come together.
Come together.
Michael, 94.9.
Sounds
grab
messy.
Your towel.
Grab your towel.
As Petra said the other morning.
Exactly. It is Eurovision week. The semi-final one's happened. And Petra and Mons were hosting the first semi, and I was in my pyjamas with my coffee watching at home.
With your semi?
With my semi, that's right. Semi-Freddo, actually, I had. Uh-huh. It was great.
Oh, when Freddie was on?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And they told me to get a towel and come together. So I was like, okay, why not? Let's do it.
Now, if you'd like to come together, if you have a view about Eurovision, do you love Eurovision? Do you wonder what Eurovision's all about? Do you wonder what all the fuss is about? Do you not like Eurovision, perhaps? Are you having a Eurovision party, and if so, what can I bring? SMS your questions or your comments to Joy 94. Joy, where is it again? Joy.
0427.
There it is, Joy 949. Or you can email in on air at joy.org.au. Read your notes, Dean. You've got it written down there in front of you.
You should know already. You should off by heart. 0427 Joy 949, Dean.
Look at that.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Well, he'll get it one day.
One day. Anyway, tell us what you think. Tell us all about it.
Yes.
So, Eurovision. What's the story?
What is the story? Good question.
Well, it started all the way back in 1956.
It did, yes.
Now, how many nations started? Is it 8 nations?
Yeah, not many of them. A handful.
7, 8 nations? I can't remember.
Well, it cost money back in the day.
Mm.
And they just wanted to show off that they could put a TV show together and have more than one country watch it at the time. That's pretty much what it was.
Pretty much. And but look, I mean, it was one of those innovative programs that kept going, and it was the first program in Europe to use satellite technology.
Ah.
And it's been, it's actually has brought Europe together in a sense.
Yes, it has.
But
yes,
why is it Vision, Eurovision, when it's clearly about the songs?
It was a journalist that actually came up with that term,
uh-huh.
Trying to explain what Eurovision was.
Right.
So they coined the term Eurovision and it just stayed. And that's what they started using.
Mm. And Eurovision is also the actual network they use to
yes.
broadcast. So it's just lucky. If it was here, it'd be called like the SBS Song Contest,
uh-huh.
you know, sort of thing. And look, it's been, what, 61 years since the first one, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every year.
Every year. And what happens when some of the European... Because European countries don't always play nicely together.
Oh.
So what happens when they don't
well,
play nicely together?
There's a whole lot of controversy, isn't there?
It says Eurodivision.
So look, this year in particular... Well, as you know, no, every year...
They come together.
Well, they say they come together,
uh-huh.
and then they go home and they start to bitch and moan about each other. So this year, they've actually done it whilst they're still together.
Well, even to the point where the two LGBTI contestants that we know of are actually having an all-out brawl on, not brawl, not physical, but verbal on the red carpet.
Oh, that's a bit awful.
For the opening ceremony. So it's all a bit.
It's a drama heated. On the red carpet.
There was good old.
This is Hovi
Star from Israel, yeah. Who is well and truly out and proud. And Down Bob from the Netherlands.
Not to be confused with Bob Down.
No, don't do that like I did. but he, and he's bisexual and out and proud as well. And they had. I believe Hovi was getting a bit pushy with the interviewers on the red carpet, and Bob got a bit peeved off, and they had words. And then Hovi went and had an interview with someone and really bagged Down quite a bit.
So they weren't fighting over who got to use the glitter cannon next? So.
No. Well, you no. Maybe, but yeah. it does get heated, and it does get it is a big thing. It's you know, this can make and break careers, this contest.
And, of course, a lot of the contestants have actually had their entry into the singing through things like The Voice and X Factor and other things in their countries.
Well, that's right.
So yes. They're used to competitive singing contests.
Oh, to a degree, yes. Although I think it's easier, I think, for the TV networks to the broadcasters to pick people from those sort of competitions, because at least they know they've been through it, they've done the camera thing, they've done the audience thing, the public like them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of helps, I think. But even then, the actual performance itself on the night, they can slip up just as much as anyone else can.
Yeah. And you've got to think, in the history, there's been lots of acts that have gone on to do amazing things. Obviously, the one everyone talks about is ABBA from 1974 when they had Waterloo.
Who?
Yeah, ABBA.
ABBA.
Oh. ABBA. And
Bucks Fizz, of course. Don't forget Bucks Fizz.
Well, don't forget also Celine Dion.
Ah.
Not many people relate to that. She in, was it 1984?
Mm.
She won Eurovision for Switzerland.
Uh-huh. And she wasn't, so she wasn't a big deal before that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So, and Olivia Newton-John.
John, yeah.
Cliff Richard.
Gina G.
Gina G.
Oh,
exactly.
My favourite.
Just a little bit more.
Exactly. So
ooh,
you know, Katrina and the Waves came back, and they had a boost to their career for Shine a Light.
And was it Sandy Shaw, Puppet on a String? Was that?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, look at that.
So look at you.
You know, Brotherhood of Man. You can keep going. There's heaps of very famous acts.
Save Your Kisses for Me. Was that a Eurovision?
That was the Eurovision song.
And I love that song because it wasn't about a girlfriend or a wife.
Oh, no. It was about a child.
I know.
It was about a four-year-old.
It's beautiful. Thanks, yes. Eurovision.
Oh.
Very tight. Because speaking of kids, there's been a spin-off, hasn't there, for the youngins?
Yes, the youngins, the junior Eurovision. This year, a bit of a kerfuffle about it, actually. Mm. It's in Malta in November because they won last year. But it's becoming really huge. And for some reason, the EBU have decided, hey, let's make it an afternoon gig and we'll put it over two venues because that will help the popularity to soar. So I'm not sure how that's going to go. I'm not sure wise people at the EBU thought that was a good idea. So,
but I can sort of understand from an afternoon. It's kids, so afternoon, and, you know, they can come home at 5 o'clock and watch it or something.
It's a Saturday, for goodness sakes.
Oh, yes.
Everyone's home on a Saturday night.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, they're stupid. It's the most stupidest idea ever.
One of the things that I find interesting about Eurovision is sometimes the songs are in English and sometimes they're not.
That's right. Oh, lately, yes. Mm. Yes. It used to be no English allowed, unless you were from the UK, mm-hmm. in which case, you know, go for your life.
Or your official language.
Oh, yes,
one
right.
of your official languages was English.
But no, it used to be only your official language could be used.
Mm-hmm.
And then, maybe about 10 years ago or so, maybe longer, they changed the rule. And so now people think, okay, well, in English, if I do it in English, at least then I can make some money out of it, because then I can sing the same song in other countries. They'll get it and they'll buy it, and everyone wins.
But even to, you can sing in any language now. And the Austrian contestant this year, she's singing in French.
Yes.
So it's not even an official language of Austria. She just likes French, and so she's singing in French.
So speaking of people singing in French, coming up next we have Amir with "Looking for You." You're on the Woods on Joy 94.9. Yeah.
You. I looked up for a way out of the dark, let go of of my defensive heart started again without a scar. I was looking, cause you know I had paid the price. Even my heart was playing dice, no one to listen to those cries. But now I'm apologizing for the last time. I want you and I'm gonna keep trying. Nothing to regret now. Sorry I'm not sorry not anymore. Nothing to learn. All I could do was feel your burn. I was hoping that you would be ready at last to leave the worst and take the best. Sing me the verse, I'll do the rest. Cause now I'm apologizing for the last time. I want you and I'm gonna keep trying. Nothing to regret now. Sorry I'm not sorry not anymore.
Other woodland creature, the woods on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to the woods on Joy 94.9. I'm Bear Curious Dean, and I'm joined by Work Experience Cub Robbie, Big Bear Mark, and Michael.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you know that song we just heard is from Amir? Now, Amir's a very good-looking Frenchman with a very good-looking French head of delegation, but that song is the English version of his song, Je Cherchère.
Uh-huh.
But it's the first play, actually, on Joy, that one. That's the English version of the song.
First time ever.
It's actually the first time I've heard it in English. There I've heard go. It in French quite a bit, but...
I like that song. Is that a contender?
Yes. It's actually, in the polls, it's number 2.
Mm.
After,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, after Russia. And I think we're going to play Sergei in a little while. And but no, I love that song. And in fact, in Euro fan polls, that song is usually number 1. So it beats Sergei every time. We'll see what happens in the contest, because I'd love for it to be in France next year.
I want it to be in France.
And not Russia.
No.
So there's a little bit of a segue for you. Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a problem if Sergei wins, I think, because of the gay issue and what happens if they put it into somewhere like St. Petersburg.
So for those who aren't familiar with Eurovision, the country that wins, and in fact it is a song contest, not necessarily a singer contest, but a song contest.
Well, they say that, but it's got you have to it take the performance and the singing, yeah. Because if you can't sing and you're getting voted on by a jury and by public, it does count.
But the country that wins,
yes,
with the best song the next year,
they host it.
They get a go.
unless it's Australia.
And what happens if it's Australia?
Well, we still host it, but it's hosted in Europe, isn't that right?
Yeah,
Michael?
So it's like when you have a party in a venue.
Yes.
You are still hosting the party, but people are going to a different venue. Same sort of thing, really.
But you can leave the washing up to someone else.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what will happen next year if Dami wins.
So what happens, do you think, if Russia wins? If Sergei wins, do you think this is going to be a problem for the EBU?
Look, the last time, a couple of years ago, when things all started with the various legislation that was going through, the EBU actually put out a very strongly worded statement supporting human rights. So the EBU have got a bit of a track record on making sure that things happen in a European way. But yeah, look, there's been talk that people won't go, people will decide to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been anything yet from countries or delegations saying that they won't attend.
Yeah.
But it certainly will be tricky for the Russians to do that balancing act. However, on the other hand, people say it's not a gay contest, it's a song contest. So,
but we've already had the controversy with Hovi Starr trying to pre-Eurovision performance where it was going to Russia, and he got his passport ripped up in Moscow airport.
Yes.
By the security guards.
And they're still dealing with that. They're still trying to deal with that sort of thing happening.
Yeah.
And the flow-on effect. But Sergei, in his semi-final press conference, has promised the world that Russia will be very welcoming to everyone, and everyone will be happy and joyful in Russia.
But do you think they'll allow glitter and weird machines across the border?
Well, I reckon they
would get stopped at the door and said, leave your glitter behind, thank you very much.
Well, no, for your personal use, it should be okay, right? But just not for, like, Eurovision
just
use.
Just personal use, sir.
Just don't force your glitter machine onto other people.
That's exactly, that's right.
And, you know, it
be
could
respectful and responsible for glitter.
But what I think you do with your glitter machine at your house is your business.
But I think it might be a bit like a Sochi Olympic things where they'll sort of suspend. It'll be like a little Euro village.
A
yeah.
little bubble thing.
Little bubble.
Yeah.
Like Snow Dome.
Yes. It'll be a Eurovision Snow Dome.
That's
in St. Petersburg or wherever it's being held.
I'll be going. Wherever it is, I will be there.
Now, if you go and if you are there, this won't be your first time, will it?
No, it'll be my third.
No way.
Yeah.
No.
This year I'm so sad I'm not there because I'm seeing all this stuff. I know how it works. I know people there.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, I'm missing out.
Because you and Julia, yeah?
Oh, Julia and I, we're like this.
Well, you're like that.
Like with my fingers crossed.
You're very visual there, yes.
Julia was coming to me for Twitter advice last year.
Really?
She was. We're like this. Sam and I, not so much, but Julia and I, very much so. Yeah, yeah. So it's an experience.
And getting a different perspective from the outside, I guess. You know, you must get some good insights when you're there.
Yum. Oh, the things you find out and the gossip and the bitching and the everything just happens in the press centre.
Oh, now tell them what happened in the Euro Club with the Spanish dancer.
Oh my god, one of my most favourite things ever.
Uh-huh.
And last year there was the Spanish performer. She didn't do too well, but she had a dancer, Giuseppe, and he was buff and toned and pretty, and he could dance, and
he
was very good. He was very good. So I said to him via Twitter, as you know, you do these days. Hey, you know, good luck. If you want a challenge, come and lift me, because I'm certainly no Spanish singer, right? He said, okay. And I went to see him at the Euro Club, tapped him on the shoulder, said, hey, I'm the guy you said you'd lift.
Uh-huh.
And he did. And so I was in the arms of a very buff Italian Spanish sexy man for a good 15 to 20 seconds.
The best 20 seconds of your life.
Oh, it's unforgettable.
Easily the best 15 seconds. Oh. Yeah.
So that was my fun story.
Actually, getting on from that, do we want to talk about the sexy? It is the Woods, and we like talking about sexy man here. So who's your pick for the sexy man of Eurovision this year?
Oh, so many to choose from. Some of them I'm happy if I can't see their heads. So one of those is Donny Montel. So if I could cover his head with a pillow.
Now, he represents
Lithuania. I'd be very, very happy.
Yes.
Sergei's
a very attractive man.
He can just stay.
We refer to Sergei by his first name.
name like Madonna. Like, we just know who Sergei is.
Yeah. It's
just,
yeah. No one needs to know. No, just Sergei.
Sergei from Russia.
And he's a very handsome man, and I'm happy to undress him as well.
And unfortunately, the Greece entry did not get through the semifinals.
Or controversy.
Well, it's not controversial. No. The song was rubbish. Oh. But but they did have two very handsome men in the group, I have to say.
I did not notice them until they appeared on my screen in front of me.
That's because the song was so bad you didn't take any notice of it, didn't you?
Yeah.
But then one of my friends commented he should have taken his shirt off much earlier. He would have got more votes.
Oh, yes. Yes, taken a lot off much earlier. We've been fine.
Exactly.
But, yeah, no, we've got... There's a few hands. Oh!
And I think for the Bears, I mean, Freddie from Hungary, who was in the first semi-final, who got through...
Didn't like his little T-shirt deal.
Yeah, that was odd.
Not I could rip it off, but I don't like what he was wearing.
It was sort of a T-shirt that came across at the front and down on one side. It was
bizarre.
It was odd.
Just take it off, Freddie. Just take it off. Keep it off. And if you like a little bit of, bit of strong Balkan type, mm-hmm. Yala, the Bosnian Herzegovinan rapper. Like beard built.
Unfortunately, they didn't get through the final either.
No, sorry, Dean. Maybe some disco next year for Dean.
Well, yes, because Dean actually, how many years ago? Must have been about 10 years ago. Longer than that. 12 years ago. Did a song, and it was a little disco song, and he was a little blonde haired disco bunny, very camp. Uh-huh. And this year he was back performing again in the Bosnian Herzegovina entry, and he's a little leather daddy this year with his leather pants and his.
I was impressed.
So very changed so completely.
Speaking of daddies, we have had a message in from a listener. This is Nurse James. Suggesting that Nurse James is a leather man, but James has asked not to forget. Earlier on, we were talking about past entrants, people who started their careers or have been in Eurovision. And Nurse James has reminded us that Engelberg Humperdinck was also.
That was only a couple of years ago, and it was. Well, Bonnie Tyler represented England as well.
She did. That was in the years when the UK decided that they'd open the nursing homes and select their contestants from there.
It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
Was Jedwab, were they
Irish?
They were Irish. They wasn't UK.
Yes.
No.
But they competed in the UK X Factor.
They came
second, I think, in the X Factor.
For their hair?
Yes.
I
really enjoyed the 2 years. They did it for 2 years, and I actually really enjoyed their entry both years. They did Lipstick and Waterline. Great. I thought they were great entries.
I like them. I'm a big Jedwab fan.
Yeah.
Did you go and see them? They came out to
Apparently about 40 other people did
as well.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was an okay crowd.
You are listening to The Woods, and we are talking about all things Eurovision, but don't worry, there won't be a pop quiz. We'll be back right after this to talk about some of the controversies, about flags, and what Graham Norton's got to say about Eurovision. You're on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt Albert from San Francisco. Well, then you can find a way to make it out here, too. You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. And if I can make it to the
middle of this tightrope. You are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. This is the show for bears, their admirers and supporters. I'm not Big Bear Mark.
No, I am.
I'm Bear Curious Dean.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know where you got that from.
Identity crisis, Dean.
I think you got all gooey over Sergei when he was
and lightning has made me all excited. And look, we're here with Work Experience Club Robbie, and we're here with Michael. Now, Michael, speaking of bears.
Yes.
Now, you're hirsute and huggable, but do you identify as a bear?
I don't know what I am. So I just go with whatever people tell me.
A couple of beers.
I'll go anywhere.
Well, I have to say the Bretts were joking the other day that the Eurovision show is now the Bears and Bretts.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, they were.
So join Eurovision on a Saturday night at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. And check out the podcast, joy.org.au/Joy Eurovision.
So flying the flag for Joy Eurovision. Speaking of flags,
there's talk of controversy around
flags.
Flag controversy.
You know what? There are some things the EBU does that really make me angry.
So what does EBU stand for?
The European Broadcasting Union. And they're the people in charge of Eurovision, both the contest and the network itself. Mm-hmm. Now, this year, they have said that they haven't done this. They didn't do this. This wasn't them, right? But
It was the venue, right?
It was the venue.
There was the venue. Yes, the Globe Arena.
Look, any venue you go to, there are rules, right? You can't have umbrellas. You can't have trumpets. You can't have, you know, big
Vizulas.
Thing. All right, and that's fine. No, that's fine.
You got to have rules.
You got to have rules. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. And you can't have big flags. Again, the way the camera is, fine. No problem. I've been there. I understand. That's fine. The issue was that they decided that they made a bit of a list of the flags they could have, you could have, and those you couldn't. Ah. And basically it was, you can't have any flag that's not of a country either in Eurovision or of a UN member state, right? So there was this page of flags that you couldn't have.
Right.
And so you had things like the ISIS flag. You had the Kosovo flag.
Uh-huh. The New Zealand flag.
No, that's okay. That's fine. That's okay.
The Crimean flag.
The Crimean flag. And they were all on the one page as flags you could not have.
Ah.
Right? So there was that whole thing of the ICE flag is the same as the Kosovo flag. Oh. You know, they're all the same, as bad as each other.
And in fact, the Basque flag, the Spain state, which is a recognised state within Spain now, and they have their own flag, was right next to the ISIS flag.
Yeah, so thanks, Basque.
So they got very upset.
They did. And then we had, we've got the UK boys, one's Welsh. You can't have the Welsh flag because the Welsh flag is not a UN-sanctioned flag, a UN
right.
state.
Oh.
So there was all this drama, and a couple of days later, the EBU said, hey, no, that wasn't meant for publication. Oopsies. We didn't mean it. We didn't. Please forgive us. We didn't mean that.
But what are they going to check the bags at the door?
They do. No, they do. They do. They do. Yeah, they do.
A flag pat down.
They do. Yeah. I've got things taken off me and I had to go and find them. It was ridiculous. Ooh. And then it rained, was even worse. But that's beside the point. But the flag, they said no, we didn't mean to publish that.
Oh.
The guidelines were that you have to have this. And you can have the rainbow flag, that's okay. And you have the EU flag.
Right.
You just can't use them in a political way. Right, so no flying the rainbow flag during Sergei's song, and no flying the EU flag during the UK entry. Otherwise, go for your life.
Because obviously the UK is going through a referendum about withdrawing from the EU.
Mm.
So,
and how are we going to police that one? They can take your flags off you at the door.
Funny you should mention that, because the Armenian girl on the semi-final decided that she would, up in a camera, in front of a camera, as they came around during the recap, she showed a flag of a disputed territory between Armenia and Azerbaijan. She held it up in front of the cameras, and those two countries went absolutely psycho.
No. She got in trouble.
Big trouble.
She got a bit of a slap on the wrist for that.
Yeah.
And the EBU put out a statement saying, please don't politicise Eurovision, and please don't do it again. So she's still there. She's still in it.
Yes.
God knows how she got through, but she got through, and but she got a slap on the wrist.
I'm just trying to remember, with Jessica Melboy a couple of years back, did she do an Indigenous flag as part of her aunt's
yes, she did.
But there was no flag policy then.
No. It wasn't she wasn't competing.
That's
either.
Right.
She wasn't competing.
Yes.
So I wonder if Justin Timberlake will turn up with the American flag. What do you reckon?
Well, it's technically okay.
And the other thing is that they have relented, and you can have the Welsh flag and the Basque flag, etc. Now, you can't still have the ISIS flag, of course, but there are flags you are allowed now.
I've got to say, with the rainbow flag, I must have missed the plebiscite. When do we vote that flag in?
I don't know. It's
that's a long time ago.
Also,
but,
it's not referred to as the GLBTIQAZXYZ flag. Right. It's just referred to as the rainbow flag. So it's not actually referred to in any particular particular group or in a particular way. So they're sort of leaving it open to who knows.
And I don't think they'd be game enough to ban the rainbow flag from Eurovision either.
That would be a controversy.
Yes.
That's half the crowd. But also there was things like the trans flag, bisexual flag. Uh-huh. There was all these things as well. Can they have those?
Well, the Bears have got their own version.
The Bears have got their own flag. That's right.
Yeah. So,
but if I mention Justin Timberlake, let's unpack that one. So, Justin Timberlake is the first American to perform at Eurovision.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's actually the first year that Eurovision is going live into America. The network logo has got it in America, and it's the first year that it's being shown live. So,
is this all a part of Eurovision's ploy to become World Vision? They've started with Australia. They're experimenting with us. Now they're dabbling with America
and
feels
China.
Very much
China.
Like it's becoming a world game.
When I saw the news and it flashed up in front of me, I thought. I was a bit worried because I do feel it's a little bit of a let's get the Americans excited, let's try and get them to watch, because it's a premiere every song, it's a world premiere every song basically that they're doing. So it's like, well, Americans, you better watch because you've got JT doing it for the US.
They don't know they have to sit through 4 hours of other stuff.
Well,
first.
No, I know, but I think it is part of the grand plan of expanding it. What will happen next? I don't know. I don't foresee the US or even China taking part anytime soon.
Oh, look, I can see Canada getting in there, though.
Yeah, maybe. But I, with all the drama with Australia,
yeah.
I think they'll sort of just take a little bit longer.
And good old Graham Norton having his say.
Well, he did have his say, didn't he? So the comments that were reported in the press was that he was questioning why Australia would be part of the Eurovision.
Well, it's the same question. Why was the UK part of Eurovision? People have been linking him to just as bad as Terry Wogan with that particular comment. And look, you're welcome to question it. We did.
He can have an opinion.
You know, but...
people in Australia were going, well, why the hell are we going to... Why are we in there another year? And, you know, I'm really glad we are, but...
Yes, am I.
Yeah, secret. And I hope we continue as well. I hope we become a permanent member.
Well, if we win this year, we have no choice.
We have to
be there next year. But, good. Thank you, Graham Norton, for your wise words. Thank you, Graham.
So tell me about the rules. So with the voting, so because we're talking about Australia being part of Eurovision, so to watch it live, you have to get up a little bit early in the morning.
It's just 5 a.m.
It's fine.
Oh, did it on Wednesday morning?
If it's Perth, fine. If you're in Perth, it's 3 in the morning.
That's Perth.
Perth.
But can we vote?
For tomorrow morning's show, yes, because Dami's in it. So basically you can vote for the semi-final that you're in and the grand final.
Right.
So we've got a chance tomorrow morning.
So tomorrow morning, Dami's part of the semi-final 2.
Yes.
Live.
Correct.
Which will be replayed, I think, on Saturday night. So there's one on Wednesday morning, semi-final 1.
Yes.
Semi-final 2 tomorrow morning. Then they get replayed Friday night, Saturday night. Then the Sunday night's the big one.
Yeah, and Sunday morning is
Sunday morning
is the big one.
At 5 a.m.
At 5 a.m.
Yes.
I'll be up.
I'll be there too.
I'll be watching with my slippers and my coffee.
And how will you be voting? How will you do that? How will you actually? Do you have to ring a number? Is there a?
Well, this is the fun thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like every other reality TV show. You just get your phone.
Yes.
You call a number or you send a message. Or however, they have gone a little bit high tech
with the app.
They have an app now.
Had it last year.
All that does is just sends a message for you. It's not really. It's not like...
But the good thing about the app is while you're watching it, you can press a little heart that says, and it makes it a favourite, so you can remember which one you should want to vote for.
Sent out lots of votes last year. I was very upset. I sent out heaps of...
Yes, I did too.
And they didn't go through. I think our network's clogged and too many people were trying to do it. And then I got messages back 2 hours later saying it's too late.
When I was over there, because I was over there last year, I did hear that and there was a heap of feedback about the fact that people weren't getting through. I voted with my Australian SIM overseas, and every single one of my votes went through. So go figure.
Most of mine did. Like, I voted like 15, 16 times, and most of mine got through. So
might have been a network thing. I don't know. I don't know, but I hope they've fixed it for this year.
Well, yes, exactly. Fingers crossed.
So, and on Friday morning, we get to see Dami in.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, Act 10 is Dami.
And what's the song that she sings?
I don't remember.
Sound of Silence.
And does Joy play that?
I believe we play it ad nauseum at the moment.
How about we play it again? This is The Woods on Joy 94.9 with Dami Im, Sounds of Silence.
Growing tired and weary, brown eyes. Trying to feel your love through FaceTime. Symphonies of dreams and highlight caught up in this crazy fast life. Baby, you're not here with me, and I keep calling, calling, keep calling, calling. Now my heart awakes to the sound of silence.
catch up or relive all the Woods has to offer. Listen to the Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
You are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. I'm Bear Curious Dean. I'm here with Work Experience Cub Robbie and Big Bear Mark and Michael. And it's all about, hello Sweden, 12 points for Australia.
Well, do you know,
it's Eurovision.
Can I just say this year, we're not hearing all the votes.
Oh, we're not?
No.
No.
That's my favourite.
Are we hearing the 12 points?
Yeah, I know, I know, I know. But we're not hearing the total votes. So the voting is a half-half thing, right? So it's jury half.
Jury's half.
And then the tally votes are the half, right?
Oh, okay.
But normally they all get together, they all put it together, it all goes together, uh-huh. And that's what we see. So that's the 12 points, 10 points, and so forth. This year, though, we're actually seeing them separately. So the jury votes are being announced by the spokespeople, and the tally votes are all being put together, piled together into one big bowl, and they're being done last to sort of apparently build the tension.
And so that you don't know who's going to win, because there's a whole lot of votes after the announcements.
So there could be like a shock.
It could be.
Could
be.
So the whole come together is not just about us coming together. They're going to come together all the votes as well.
Yes.
Mm. Wow.
I know.
Now you mentioned the jury. So who's on jury duty for Australia?
Thankfully, it's not our friend from last year.
No.
Our friend from last year?
Our friend from last year, Mr. Dick.
Richard the one Wilkins. From Channel 9. Yes.
And also one of them that sort of broke the rules last year as well. We won't talk about that.
But for this year,
We've got Monica.
What's this?
Trapica.
I can never remember that name.
Play School.
She's from Play School.
And Pardon Me Boys way back.
And it's very good. Yes. And
she's Joan's sister.
Yes. And she's actually the chairperson this year. Yes.
I like her.
Mm-hmm. We've got Miff Warhurst, which is everyone knows from.
Everyone loves Miff.
Yep. Double J at the moment. Who else we got? We've got Shannon Knowles.
Shannon Knowles. The Eurovision public, well, the Australian public, have been wanting Shannon to be the person actually singing. And so I'm happy they've given him consolation prize for being on the jury.
Yes.
Because I'm not sure if I enjoy seeing Shannon Knowles on stage at Eurovision.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't think it's a good match.
No. Although, if he was Dutch, maybe. That might work.
Yeah, we've also got James Masterson.
From Channel 10.
From Channel 10, who used to do Idol, of course. He was one of the hosts. And the producer guy.
Craig Portals.
Who I can never remember his name.
Craig.
Thanks. So they'll do 50% of the vote.
Yeah.
Are they over there or are they over here?
Here.
So they're in Australia.
They are here. They are locked, or they were locked down. So they saw it this morning. So there's 5 o'clock this morning.
Yes.
They are all watching it. Uh-huh. And they all submitted their votes this morning. So
for
they've seen it.
For the second semi-final.
Yes. So they've seen it.
Oh, they've already voted.
Yes.
Okay. So we can only vote in the contest that Dammy performs in, which is the second semi-final, and the final.
Yeah. So they'll watch the grand final, their version of it, at 5 o'clock on Saturday morning. So that's basically that final is another dress rehearsal, but it's a really important dress rehearsal because all the juries watch the show.
So they judge the dress rehearsal, and then we judge the final performance.
That's the final performance.
They must put a lot of pressure on the performers, so they have to do a really good rehearsal.
Yeah, they do. They need a very good rehearsal.
Now, speaking of rehearsals, we saw during the week that Sergei, who's had some airtime tonight, Sergei's the Russian performer.
Yes.
He fell off his perch.
During the first rehearsal, he did, and he also fainted in a pre-Eurovision performance as well.
Now that's his fault for doing too many shows.
Yes.
Sergei, you're going to be in a big competition. I'm not sure why you're doing a performance every bloody night for the 5 weeks before it. It's just your own fault. It's your own stupid fault.
But look, I think all that practice paid off on Wednesday morning.
I reckon he'd be okay. I think he'd still be okay. He's a bit of a seasoned type,
yes,
this one.
But you have to admit that his performance was pretty spot on.
Oh, yes.
It was very well done.
And the other footage we've seen of rehearsals this week with our own Dami on the box.
On the glittery blue box.
I love Dami's big blue box.
I'm wondering how she's going to get down off of the blue box.
Well,
I am wondering.
There was a little thing at the start, the very first rehearsal, where you could see the hands of the people who are helping her down off the box.
Oh, okay.
And so they spent a little while trying to work out how to hide those hands, and they've done it. So
good.
She's being helped down by people. Obviously, they are part of the
six people who are allowed on stage.
On stage, yes.
And that's how she's getting down off the stage.
The degree of difficulty performing live in front of a worldwide audience in a delightful frock.
Yes.
Hitting the high notes with six helpful companions to help you off your box.
Yes. Yeah. It's a big box.
What could go wrong?
Well, hopefully nothing, because she's done it so many times that it should be okay.
And the frock, she should be fine.
The frock is free-flowing from what we've seen. It's, there's a bit of fabric going on there.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. It's done, I can't remember the name of this. It's an Australian designer who's designed it. Mm-hmm. It is very sparkly and it's big.
If you are a bride, you will be wanting to see it to get some inspiration for your own
special
dress.
Day.
Oh, it is a beautiful dress for any bride.
And she's quite stylish and stunning anyway, isn't she?
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm surprised she doesn't have like huge shoulders that are going to poke people out as she comes off stage.
So if you are a bride, you probably would have got inspiration from the Croatian contestant the other morning. I don't know if you saw that one with the big white...
The tree dress. Someone said that the Barbara Dex Award is given to the person with the worst outfit. And someone said that she can't win the Barbara Dex Award with that one because that's not an outfit. It's a costume. And therefore, it doesn't count.
I thought it was quite amazing, actually. It was
the most ridiculous piece of material I've ever seen on a stage ever in my life.
Now, one of the reasons why you might want to have a costume with lots of fabric in it is for the wind machine.
And a reveal. You need a reveal and a wind machine.
So where's your money for Dami? Do you think we'd have a bit of wind machine action
she's
going?
She's definitely got a wind machine going.
Oh.
We know she's got a wind machine going.
Oh, yes. There's lots of wind there.
Yes.
Lots of wind.
What do you reckon about the reveal? Do you think Dami will rip off the...
No, I don't think there's a reveal there. No. I think she's just going to do the... I mean, the stage is pretty amazing. She's got this Minority Report type thing she's got going on with these sliding graphics across, and she puts a hand across and they slide, and it's lots of faces, and you'll see it tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock if you're up, which I hope many people are, and voting. Obviously you can't vote for her, just you have to vote for someone else.
Oh, you can't vote for your own country.
Yeah, you can't vote for your own country
and in the final. So vote for France instead.
Vote for France in the grand final. Yes.
Yeah. Or Spain. I think Spain's gonna
Spain. Good, say yay for Spain.
Say yay.
She's excited.
We've been talking about fashion, but probably should say that we've talked about the jury.
Yes.
But the person who says, "Hello, Sweden."
Leland, welcome back, Leland.
Leland is back. So Leland will be speaking on behalf of all fellow Australians.
I hope she's got a different dress this year. The red was a bit much to last year, but I hope she's got something just as good this year.
I would have been happy if she was on screen holding her gold Logie, but maybe next year.
Maybe Wally will hand just, it to her. Yeah, borrow it. But yeah, she's back.
She'll be doing that announcement on Sunday night. Sunday morning. I can't get those times right. I didn't get these times right. So help me again. It's tomorrow morning,
5 a.m.
semi-final 2.
That's right.
Dami's in it, but you can't vote for Dami.
No.
Then Sunday morning at 5 a.m.
Yes.
You're watching it live.
Yes, the grand final.
And again, you can't vote for Dami. No. You can vote for France or Spain
or something else. And you can watch the replay, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, SBS. But even better, just listen to Joy Eurovision Saturday, 8 p.m.
Fantastic. You are on The Woods on Joy 94.9. And that brings us to an end of The Woods for our Eurovision special.
Oh, we don't need School of Pop, do we? They don't need to do it this week. We can just keep talking.
That went really quick.
It did.
How exciting, though, Eurovision this weekend.
Tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and then Sunday morning at 5 a.m.
Of course, you can catch up on all the Eurovision news on
Joy Eurovision. Joy's only Eurovision show. The one and only, the longest, the best. Do you know that Joy Eurovision was actually nominated for a CBAA Award a couple of years ago?
Really?
It was. Didn't win. Yeah. It was nominated, though. Better than any other podcast you might hear on Joy. Saturday, 8 p.m. And follow on Twitter. I'll be live tweeting the shows at Joy_Eurovision.
It'll keep you busy.
Oh, it gets me awake, basically. Yes.
And I can't say anything wrong because I'm a co-host there as well.
So Saturday night is the Bears and...
Yeah, we'll be reviewing the top six, the big six songs from the big six nations. So that's England, Germany, Italy, France, and Sweden, because they're the host. And Spain. Yeah. And we'll be giving our opinions, I dare say, about who we think we might win.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Now, if you missed that, Monday morning at 6:30 a.m., it is the Brekkie Bears.
So Luke and I will be back, and then also
before then though, six at six, I'll take it over.
Six at six, of course.
I'll do the top six Michael winners. FM. Yeah, I'm Michael FM. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. 6 o'clock, six to six, Monday.
6 to 6 Monday. Brekkie Bears at 6:30. You can catch up on the podcast of this show or podcasts from our other shows at joy.org.au/thewoods. You can like us on Facebook at The Woods on Joy 94.9, or you can follow us on Twitter
at The Woods on Joy.
Coming up next is School of Pop.
That's right. And so just quickly, who do we think is going to win, Michael?
I really, really, really want Amir to win. I want France to win. I want to go to Paris.
Yeah, I reckon he's going to, if he doesn't win, he's going to come close. And if he doesn't win, I think Russia's going to win.
Yes. And Dami is very, very close behind.
And I think she'll be third.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking top three
yep.
for Dami.
And you've got to watch out. The other one you've got to watch out for is Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
They have a song called 1944, which is very political and controversial.
No, it's not, apparently.
Who's the walk on water person?
Malta.
Malta?
Like yeah, right. She performed last night and came in. She actually got in on the 10th position.
Yeah, but
It's not in order.
Oh, okay.
But there was a bit of controversy because Iceland got knocked out and they had a great song.
Greta. Wait, what a waste.
It was a waste.
What a waste. Robbed. She's robbed.
She was robbed.
Robbed. I'm sorry, Rob.
Very much
she
so.
Was. I was upset. I threw my pen down this morning.
Well, like, I was morning. Upset when it got down to her and Malta, and it was like, there's only one position that got to it. Anyway, we've got to go.
I think you boys are going
to
need a good lie down after Eurovision is finished.
I think we are. Someone get the hose, Dean. Get the hose in here.
You've been listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. Until next week, it's Woofgurr.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.